The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We also spoke earlier in the show about Ireland's care system when it comes to children. And the reason we've been talking about this is, of course, the publication a couple of weeks ago of the Grace Report. And on the day of publication, we spoke to Minister Norma Foley, who said that there is a much more robust system of child protection in this country compared to 1989 when Grace went into care. What we heard earlier in the show is, yes, I mean, on paper, it is much more robust, and maybe the experience of lots of people in it is that it is more robust, but not everybody in it. There are shortcomings there. Charlotte Burke is with me now, and she is a registered social care worker, PhD candidate and continuous professional development officer with Social Care Ireland. Charlotte, you're welcome to the show.
Thank you, Karen.
Can you give us a sense, because I know you've been looking into this as a piece of work, of that social care system and how it's evolved and how it's changed and maybe how it has improved, if it has, over the years?
Yeah, thank you, Karen. So as a PhD candidate, I'm studying the history of social care education in Ireland. So the Grace Report is not the first report, unfortunately. We can go back and trace back the first Reformatory and Industrial Schools report, the Cusson Report in 1936, the Turham Report in 66. And then we had Justice Eileen Kennedy, who came out with the Kennedy Report in 1970, which was monumental to change the way we perceived care, with deinstitutionalising these large, can you imagine 120 children living in these dormitory style institutions? So they broke them down into more group homes. So yes, there has been massive change and progress because they're in smaller group homes. And I suppose from that piece of research, you know, key findings were around the need for training and resources. So that was one of the key things that, yes, we can talk about. We don't, you know, Grace Report is from 89, but we still have resourcing issues and we still have a lack of training for some of our social care workers.
Yeah, because it's interesting. We spoke about this earlier. Pádraig Tobin, the Aintu leader, has brought this up in the Dáil quite a number of times, and he was on the show, and Terry Dignan as well, who's experienced in all of this area. And, you know, they both said the same thing, that there's systemic problems and there's structural problems, but the biggest problem is resourcing. That, you know, on paper, the service that TUSTA, for example, are providing is not matched by reality. And it's often because they don't have the social care workers, or the social care workers they have are just snowed under with work. Is that your experience of the system?
Absolutely. And retention is a problem as well, is, you know, hanging on to people that are there. But, and I suppose it's to say, I'm the continuous professional development officer, so your formal qualification is important, but it's also important to be reflecting on your practice and be given the opportunities in work to engage in CPD events and conferences, so that you're always looking at what's in front of you, but maybe you can change your perspective by engaging in some CPD as well, and that will then keep social care workers longer in the job, because you do have a lot of burnout and you do have a lot of, if you're constantly told we can't do that because of resources issue, you know, it's quite a negative, where it can be I worked in that environment for 20 years and I loved it. I worked in residential care for 20 years, and there's always ways around if you can be creative and innovative in your job. And that's where the continuous professional development can really support and nurture that environment as well.
So the resourcing issue, I mean, have you a view, or your colleagues, the people you speak to on a daily basis, a view as to how that would be solved? I mean, is it just a question of pay people more, improve the conditions?
I suppose it's our perspective as well as a society, the way we see care as a low status, that it's vocational, that it's, you know, religious orders, you know, so society needs to change its perspective on care and how we see that and how we view that. And I suppose legislation is a key one there as well. The Assisted Decision Making Capacity Act, when that was brought in, we saw a massive change then in the wardship of people in care, in disabilities. And we saw the decision making support services being set up. So again, that has change can happen, but it needs to be resourced adequately. Mm. And it needs somebody at the realm like Áine Flynn, who's at the head of the Decision Support Services, pushing and advocating for that change. Because it's not all about resources for sure, but it's about how we perceive care as well.
And I know that the focus obviously is primarily on the children in care and where those children have been failed, or where they're put into situations that they shouldn't be, particularly around emergency accommodation that the state often has to rely on. But I just think it's worth as well focusing on a little bit on the people working in it as well. And you talked about burnout there. I mean, it's a really high pressure job, isn't it?
It is, and it's 24/7. So, Kieran, you could go in and do a 24-hour shift. Somebody might call in sick and you have to stay on. That was my life for 20 years.
Mm. I'd imagine, sorry to cut across, it'd be emotionally draining at times.
It can be emotionally taxing, but I mean, that's what underpins social care. It's relational work. That's what you're there for. You're walking beside somebody. You're not there to fix somebody. You're there to listen for empathy and compassion, but you're there in a supportive role. So it's very rewarding as well because you have that relational piece. Mm. But yes, it can be quite taxing. So that's where supervision is so important. That's why having resources towards CPD and people availing of that is really important. So that relationship can be nurtured and that somebody's not carrying that burden and bringing it home, that they have somebody accountable for that as well.
Relationship piece, because that exists, that relationship with somebody, it probably makes it all the more difficult then when you see failures within the system or you see individuals being failed, you know, like they end up, as I said, in the SEAs, the kind of these emergency accommodation situations, and maybe they're sent somewhere where they absolutely shouldn't be sent and the whole thing can be re-traumatizing for whatever reason.
Absolutely. And these are young people we're talking about.
Yeah.
You don't get a second childhood. You know, that is their childhood and that is their memory. And it's very hard then to unwrap all that trauma in your re-traumatizing somebody then as well. Absolutely.
So, I mean, had you or your colleagues in Social Care Ireland, the ear of the minister and your hand on the levers of power, what things would you do? I mean, you know, if it was a simple solution, it would have been solved long ago. There's complexity in all of this and you have to be mature about it. But is there low-hanging fruit or are there simple changes that you would make, little things?
Well, I suppose one core change that's happening at the moment is registration of social care workers. So getting that professional identity is core and key to this as well. So that's a key change that's happening because the social care workers are standing up for themselves and they're advocating for themselves as well and pushing back on services and saying, well, no, that isn't enough. We need more. So that is key as well, because sometimes, again, they feel a little bit voiceless. Like all through COVID, can I mention that word? You know, it was all about the healthcare and the hospitals. But then you had a lot of social care workers working out in community and residential care that didn't get a mention. So they're the unseen. Sometimes they can be invisible. So we're hoping that with the registration with Coru, that will really help build up that professional identity and that community of practice.
Good. It's kind of a societal thing as well as a political or a policymaker thing, isn't it? Because it's carers, people who are just caring at home for a family member, be they a child or a sibling or even a parent as well. They often talk about how they're unseen. They're kind of invisible in society. And this is just a kind of another extension or another side of the same coin, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, listen, Charlotte, we really appreciate you coming in and having a chat about it and kind of shining a light on it from your point of view. Really worthwhile. Charlotte Burke is with Social Care Ireland, the Continuous Professional Development, the CPD officer there, registered social care worker and PhD candidate. And it sounds like kind of fascinating research going into the history of it all from the religious orders. Back in the day when the state outsourced all of this.
Everything was the religious orders, yes.
Yeah, well, listen, Charlotte, best
of
luck
you,
with it. And thanks a million for coming in to us.